Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm privileged to have a book named after me in the Bible. All right, we got that over with. Amen. So I thought I'd see if some of y'all was awake this morning. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. We need Him. Amen. Without Him, we can do nothing. And as we look into His Word, when we open up the Bible, we open up the mind of God. And God wants to speak to us. God wants to reveal Himself to us. God wants to help us today. And I trust that He will do that in the next few minutes. God will just let us be obedient unto Him. And I'm just going to get right into preaching. All right, the Bible says here in chapter number 1 in 1 Timothy. Of course, there's the outline here of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, pure doctrine. Chapter number 2, pray and public worship, prayer and public worship. And in chapter number 3, there's proven officers. In chapter number 4, there's prophetical warnings. Chapter number 5, there's pastoral oversight. It says rule well, those that rule well. And then chapter number 6 is a personal charge, fight the good fight of faith. That's mentioned there. But as we come to, you know, I've told you this many times, I've got my head's stopped up. I can't hear nothing. So I feel like I'm not, nobody can hear nothing. So don't pay no attention to me. But can y'all hear?
Yeah.
I can. Okay. All right. Good. So it sounds like I'm not saying anything. It sounds like I'm not got any volume at all. So I'm sorry about that, Brother Richard. I've got a little book in my library that takes the Word of God and gives a title for every book. And for the book of Timothy, it gives advice. And then chapter number 1, it starts with A, advice concerning false teaching. Chapter number 2 is D, it's directions for godly women. Chapter number 3 is V, virtues for Christian elders. Chapter number 4 is I, and that's instructions for godly living. And it does like that. It goes down device. And so advice. And Timothy has given us, Paul has given Timothy some advice.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And this morning, within light of what we're thinking about, this morning, honoring our teachers, and I want to say I thank God for each teacher here at Philadelphia Baptist Church. I thank God for each one, for each assistant. I thank you so much for your willingness to teach. And here he deals with Timothy, and in verse number 3, we're going to find my text at, and he deals with Timothy, and he tells him this. He says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." Still at Ephesus. And Wiersbe entitles this in his book. He entitles this, "Staying on the Job." If I could have thought of a better title, I would have done it. But I'm just going to stay with that. Staying on the job. Amen. And so I want to commend and also to challenge our teachers. Hey, just stick with the stuff. To stay on the job, amen. And then I thank God for Philadelphia Baptist Church. I've been able to be the pastor of you fine people for 15 years. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And I just want you to, hey, stay, abide, still left. Hey, just stay on the job. God has a job. God has a work for each one of us to do. I could bring this back into our theme. You know, here am I, Lord, use me. I'm not going to take time to do that this morning. But hey, we need to stay on the job. Hey, we need some preachers that will stay on the job.
Amen.
We need some preachers that say, "Hey, you know what I found out, and you other preachers in here, you know that." And I appreciate all our preachers we got. I thank God for each one of them. There's not a jealous bone in my body. I'll turn the pulpit loose anytime God asks me to do it. Amen. I appreciate Brother Ware preaching for me Wednesday night. I couldn't preach. I was sick. I was here, but I just wouldn't have been able to preach. It would have been really interesting if I'd preached Wednesday night. And so, but I'm just saying, I thank God for these men. You know, when I came here, I was the youngest preacher in the church. Amen. The youngest preacher in the church. I mean, Brother Garrett was here. Brother James Cobb. I mean, these great preachers. Brother Cobb's still living. Brother Garrett's passed away. And other men that was here. And so I thank God now we got some younger preachers. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is to have some younger preachers coming on. But I thank God for the preachers. I mean, they were such a blessing and such a help. I know people have stories to tell, but the Lord just blessed us with good men of God being around us, you know. But a lot of times, you know, pastors don't stay very long at places. You know, the average pastor stays at a Baptist church is 18 months. That's the average time that a pastor stays at a church when you, all the things, you know. Hey, you know what I found out? I found out this is the third church I pastored, and guess what? Brother Gazaway, in my first church, I got the same problems I got in my third church. You say, what is it? People. Amen. That's right. And guess what? People never changes. And you know what? Those people in the pews got the same problem, a pastor. Amen. It just never changes. The problems never changes, just the faces. Amen. And so, you know, a preacher gave me some great advice, when I was in college, Brother Rice gave me some great advice. He said this. He said, son, he told us as a group, he said, when you go in a pastor at church, he said, you go in that church for the first year. He said, you just go preach, love them people. I mean, without something that's really doctrinally bad, I mean, you just cannot live with it. It's so doctrinally bad, it's bringing reproach upon the church and things like that. He said, just don't fool with it. So he said, don't expect something out of people till you put something into them. And so after 15 years of putting something in, I'm going to start expecting some things. Amen. Y'all liked the advice, didn't you, till then? Now, hey, let's stay on the job. Let's stay on the job this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, the next few minutes, God, I pray that you'll anoint us and fill us and help us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, may we dig into your word. May your word speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. There's an advertisement. Weir's puts this in his book as an advertisement that was in the London paper. After researching it, nobody's ever found that in archives, but it probably was. But men want it. It said men want it. This is an advertisement now in the classified of the London paper. Men want it for a hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition upon success only. Sounds like a job I want. How about y'all? Amen. Do you realize thousands of men applied for the job? And you know why? It's because of the next words. Sir Ernest Shackleton. He was a famous explorer in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was a great explorer. And because he signed his name, men was willing to sell things. Men was willing to give their life. Men was willing to go on this long journey just because of who signed it, because of the accolade, because of his heroism, because of all that he's done. They was willing to do that. Well, I wrote me one. Men and women wanted the difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those that work with you. You will face constant attack from an individual enemy, from an invisible enemy. Pain and persecution will come. The world will hate you. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come after the work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. I wonder how many be willing to sign up. Signed Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. I wonder, are we willing to stay on the job? Are we willing to sign up and work for the Lord and not just work for a season, but work for our life is done? Work till God says it's finished and it's time for you to come up. Amen. Well, the very first thing he said is, I besought thee to abide still Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they what? Teach no other doctrine. Hey, you know the very first thing that he's dealing with here, the very first thing he wants to say, hey, if we're going to stay on the job, hey, let's stay on the job and let's make sure we fulfill and do our job. Let's stay with the doctrine, amen? I mean, let's stay with sound doctrine. I mean, there's a lot of people today that are straying in our doctrine. I had the privilege to go to the Rock of Ages ministry and go up there and sit in one of their board's meetings. And they were sitting that board. And of course, they was dealing with different things. And they had to deal with somebody. And I wouldn't say their name. I wouldn't be that unethical. But they had to deal with somebody. I mean, when you have as many missionaries they have and different things, sometimes things happen. And they, so and it's so sad. And he, and this and the president just made a mess. He said, you know, it's sad we have to deal with people when they change their doctrine. Amen. They change their doctrine. You realize we have missionaries on the mission field, and they've called me, and they said, "Preacher, I want you to know, I want you to find out before the letter comes through, but so we're changing our church. We're moving from this church to another church, and we want you to know personally why we're having to do that, because it's a big thing when missionaries change anything." Yeah. Amen. I mean, they're in a scoop. I mean, people just look, well, what's going on? What's wrong? Well, you know, hey, they're people just like we are. And so things change. And so the preacher, they said, well, we was at this church, and, you know, that's our sending church, and, man, we love those people and everything, but they've got a new pastor, and he's been there for a year or two, and things is changing. Sometimes some of them sees the handwriting on the wall, and they get out. Some of them is just down the road, and they start losing support. So they'll have a pastor who comes, hey, I understand you're out of so-and-so church, and that so-and-so church is now doing this, and are you, well, we ain't involved in that. We're just, that's our sending church. But they're associated. That's their church.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that, you know, and so it affects them, and they find out about what's going on as time as things going on. But you'd be surprised how many people have changed in their doctrine. Hey, Timothy. Paul told Timothy, his son in the faith, he said, "I want you." And I've got a lot I could say, and I'm trying to cut everything out that I don't need to be there. But hey, he said, "I want you to do this. I want you to stay with sound doctrine." Hey, you know what? I believe that it would be good for Philadelphia Baptist Church to stay with sound doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. I think it'd be all right for us to stay and continue to preach that we believe in what we call eternal security of the believer.
Amen.
Amen. That's wavering to some in our day.
Yeah.
Eternal security of the believer. Now you say, "Preacher, what exactly does that mean?" Well, just in a nutshell, and putting it in old country Georgia language, it means simply this: when God saves you, He seals you, and He never breaks the seal. Amen. He seals you, and He never breaks the seal. And we're sealed until the day of redemption. When the seal is broken, if you will put it that way, we're going to be put in a glorified body, and we'll be likened unto Him. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that we're saved. That God just don't save us, and then we run a little while, and something happens, and then God unsaves us. God don't do that. The Bible says in Hebrews He gives us eternal salvation. Amen. And John 3 said He gave us everlasting life. And God's not an ending giver. He don't give it and take it back. Amen. He loves you, and He saved you with an everlasting salvation, an eternal salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't get away from that. It's all through the Word of God. Eternal, eternal, eternal. Amen. And first of all, we're not working to be saved anyway. I didn't have nothing, Brother Derek, I didn't have nothing with salvation to do with salvation anyway. On Calvary's cross, Jesus said it is finished.
Yeah.
It was completed.
Yeah.
All I've done is put my faith and trust in what He did.
Right.
Amen. So we're still going to believe in the eternal security of the believer. I mean, we're going to still believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins.
Amen.
That's just what we're going to continue to believe in. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible said there's no remission of sin. Hey, we still, you can call it a bloody religion, you can call it a sick religion, you can call it whatever the people want to call it in our day and time, but excuse me, but the religion is still the same, my friend. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. From Genesis, that blood flows.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And every time they went into the holies of holies, they took what? Blood.
Yeah.
And the holies of holies, they took blood in that. Amen. Those sacrificial lambs, I mean, all those sacrifices, all that blood was shed, was a picture for Calvary. When Jesus would come and die upon Calvary's cross, when Jesus Christ would come and give his life on Calvary, when God would give His Son on Calvary's cross, all of it. And on that day, on Calvary, that Jesus' blood shed, it reached back 4,000 years, over 4,000 years to Adam, and it began to flow. Amen. And no, it wasn't covering their blood, no, their sins no more. It was washing their sins away. And then it started right there. And now 45 years later, after 45 years in my life, I found out That blood still cleanses me.
Amen.
I was saved when I was 7 years old. Amen? Isn't that right? So I'm 7, I'm 52. That is right, ain't it?
Yeah.
Whew, ain't fair. Amen. So what I'm trying to simply say this morning is this. That blood still cleanses us from sin. We're not going to stop. We're going to believe in the doctrine of the blood. Amen? We're going to believe in the doctrine of the Trinity.
Yeah.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe in the doctrine of God, that God is an eternal God. God is a self-existent God.
Yes,
amen. That God is a holy God.
Amen.
God is a God that changes not.
Amen.
He's an omnipotent God, omnipresent God. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to still believe it. He's a merciful God. He's a God of mercy. Amen. He's a God that is just. And he is a God that justifies. Oh, we're just going to still believe in God.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's doctrines that we're just not going to give up.
Stay
on the job. Stay faithful to God. Hey, we're still going to believe in the doctrine of sin.
Amen.
Sin is still real.
Yeah.
Sin is still sin today. It's still wrong to do wrong things. You know how sin separates us from God. Sin stains us. Sin scars us. Amen. It scars us. It'll scar your character. Amen. It'll scar your conscience. It'll scar your career. It'll scar your health. Amen. Hey, sin's not nothing to play with. The way of a transgressor is hard. Young people, if you don't watch it, this is the way you'll handle sin. You'll get right to the edge of it. You know what'll happen? It's very easy. You'll finally fall in.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
The story is told. a wealthy lady, back in the days when they had chariots, and you know they went everywhere in buggies. A wealthy lady lived on a very dangerous road on top of a mountain, and it was very dangerous getting up there. And the road, of course, was just so wide that they'd made winding around the mountain to go up to her mansion, and she was very, very wealthy, and her husband had died. And she wanted to hire somebody to drive her, I call it a chariot, drive her buggy. Okay. So she had three applicants that came in. And she said, you know, the first one walked into her office. She said, sir, you know that I live, you came up the road this morning, you know where I live. And so you know how dangerous it is. And if the buggy would go off, we'd all die. She says, I want to know how close can you get to the edge without endangering me. That man said, I can get within a foot of that edge and you'll never be in danger. Well, there sat the other two applicants. That man, he said, okay, she said, okay, sit down. She asked the other one, okay, sir, give me your name. He gave his name. Said, how close? He said, ma'am, I can get you within 6 inches of that edge of that cliff. And I'm so skilled to drive with those horses and you'll never be in danger. The third one was the oldest gentleman of the bunch. The second one sat down. She said, sir, and he made his way up. She said, sir, give me your name. And he gave his name. He said, how close can you get? He said, I'm going to stay as far away from it as I can. She said, you're hired.
Yeah.
Amen. That needs to be your philosophy.
Amen.
That needs to be our philosophy about sin.
Yeah.
To stay as far away from it as we can, to abstain from all the appearance of sin. I believe we even forgot that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just saying, stay on the job. Stay on the job. I've got to go. Stay on the job. Hey, sound out the gospel. Look at verse number 11. Let me give you this outline and I'm going. Verses 1 through 10, they're talking about sound doctrine. Verses 11 through 17, sound out the gospel. Verses 18 through 20, stand for the faith. Let me give you these two thoughts. Sound out the gospel. Sound out the gospel. Look at verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Hey, Timothy, I want you to stay faithful to that sound doctrine. I want you to stay faithful to, hey, sounding out the gospel. Hey, get the gospel message out. Hey, it's not about all the things that we have. It's about the message we preach. It's not about the buildings. And it's not about all the talents and all the treasures we might have. The greatest message that Philadelphia Baptist Church has to deliver is that Jesus saves! Jesus saves!
Amen.
Thank God we got a Christian school. But hey, that ain't the main thing here. Think we're in a Bible college. That ain't the main thing here. The main thing for this church ought to be is trying to sound out in Calhoun and Adairsville and all around us is that Jesus saves. The gospel, the blessed gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be trying to get now. There's nothing wrong with doing this. Well, come to our church, you know, we got things for the young people. There's nothing wrong with that. I know that. But you ought to say, hey, come to our church and hear about Jesus.
Yeah,
we ought to be a place that people comes and hears about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say this as kindly as I can, and I didn't say it. Another preacher that was with me said it to me, and I'm just repeating. Preacher and I went, and we drove probably about an hour and a half to hear a preacher preach. The preacher done a fine job preaching. I ain't against the preaching at all. But going home, the preacher that rode with me mentioned this. He said, I don't know if you noticed it. And he was a whole lot older preacher than I was. I was young. This has been many years ago. I was younger than I am young today. And he said, and he was an old man of God, and I respect him and still respect him. But he said, that preacher done a good job preaching tonight. But he said, I noticed something in his preaching that if he continues that way, it will finally engulf his preaching. And as history has had it to see now, that man is no longer in the ministry. And this is what he said. He said he had a lot to say about what he was doing. And what he was involved in. And what his ministry. And he said, if he keeps going that way, it's going to all become about him. And can I tell you, when it comes about you and not about him, then you don't have a ministry no more. You don't have a ministry. I don't care what you do. I don't care how many thousand people you feed. I don't care how many people's getting healed. As far as healed through medicine and different things. And I'm not against humanitarian things. I'm not against them. Y'all get me. But the main thing has to stay the main thing, and that is, he said, Timothy, he said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which has been committed to my trust. The gospel is what has been committed to me. In verse number 12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The ministry is because of the one that put us in it. It's about him. It's not about us. Hey, if you're going to stay on the job, I'm telling you, Dr. Lee had it right. Lee Robertson, he said, the only way you're going to ever be able to do something for God is to die out to self. Die, 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 he would say. You're going to have to die to self. It's not about us. Yeah, teachers, it's not about you. It's about you getting the gospel of those young people. It's about the gospel. It's about getting the gospel of that class that you're teaching. It's about them. Hey, parents, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about what God's gave you. If you're a parent, God's gave you children. It's about getting the gospel to them. Amen.
Yeah.
It's about, hey, it's about getting them to know Jesus, the Lord. Jesus is their personal Savior. Hey, do you want? I've got to quit. But can I say it this like this? One day, this life for me is going to end. Amen.
Yeah.
Just dying, if you don't mind, you go over and get the children's church for me, if you don't mind. And Brother Marshall, if you don't mind, if you'll go downstairs and get Way Church for me. Sister, you'll come to the piano. I'm going to end this service just like this. One day this life's going to come to an end. Brother Nix, it's not going to matter how much money I have in the bank account.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter how much land I own.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter how many people comes to my funeral. I'm not going to know anything about how many people come. Probably. It's not going to matter about what legacy I've left behind as far as for Tim McCulley. It will be for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as time goes on, if the Lord don't come, I'll have a wife that'll pass away. If I get to go first, I'll be sitting at the gate waiting on her to come. And then, Brother Gasway, time goes on. I have a son that'll pass away. We'll be sitting there together waiting on the son to come in. The time goes on. I'll have a daughter that'll pass away. And if I see Deborah, Aaron, Andrea, and me walk towards the throne room, I'll say, recover it all. Recover it all. The greatest gifts I've got. This is, I mentioned them. That's the greatest gifts I've got.
Yeah.
I love Philadelphia Baptist Church. The greatest gifts I've got. I just mentioned them.
Yeah.
I've got a mama on the other side. I got a daddy in my life, time wise, but the next his years is numbered. I may go before he does. I'm saying that's all that's going to matter when we get to the other side.
Yeah.
I didn't get to my third point, and that's fine. This is where God wants us to stop. Stay on the job. Get the gospel out. If you get out to anybody, try your best to get it out to your family.
Yeah.
Get your kids to fall in. Try your best to get your kids to fall in love with Jesus. Make Jesus appetizing to them. Make Jesus, I mean, something to them, you know, hey, y'all got to have this. Wouldn't it be sad? Get to heaven, you and your wife, you and your husband. You stand there. Waiting for that son or that daughter to make it in. Waiting. You know, but Derek, I'd want to make sure they're safe before I ever left here, wouldn't you? Stay on the job, moms and dads. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Live for God in your older days. Make God look good to your children, to your grandchildren. I wonder what kind of picture we're painting of God to those that's following behind us. I want to be able to say, recover it all. Amen. But I was faithful in the job. I served God. I was faithful in the job. I stayed on the job. I stayed with the gospel. I stayed with sound doctrine. And I stayed with the faith. We're standing, our heads are bowed, with the mic singing.